Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and with us in studio is one of our favorite trainers from Tarot International, Carlos Alvarez. Is an industry expert when it comes to communication and public speaking. Today, Carlos joins us to talk about building rapport. Carlos, welcome.
Michael, great to see you. Great to be back here with you again.
It is always our pleasure, my friend. Rapport. That sounds like a French word.
I'm not sure where it comes from, but I believe you.
I think. You know, it sounds that way anyway. So we're going to spend some time talking about what is rapport, how do you build it, why is it important, and you're one of the chief trainers at Tarot specializing in this particular topic of communication and public speaking. So let's get into it. What the heck is rapport?
You know, rapport is a fancy word for simply this. Tarot International talks about this either in communications or when you're making presentations. Mm. It's making a connection with the audience of one or audience of many. It's the connection that rapport is referring to.
And I suspect rapport can take on many forms, depending on who you're talking to.
Help me understand with that question.
Well, I'm thinking about if you're speaking to a large group of individuals, the way that you communicate or the way you build rapport would be a little different than if it's a one-on-one situation.
Michael, thank you very much for giving me more clarity in that question. So what you're asking me is, Carlos, if it's one-on-one in building rapport, is it the same as if you're presenting to a larger audience?
There you go.
So thank you. So I'll take the one-on-one. Building rapport with the one-on-one simply comes down to some simple things that we can do. Number one, approaching the individual, direct eye contact, and sticking out our hand to begin that handshake.
Mm-hmm.
As easy as that sounds, for some individuals, it's a little intimidating. But that's the way we begin that rapport building. Now, if I'm giving a presentation, it's a small group. It is my opportunity. When I say a small group, 20 people or less, I can actually walk around and do that. Approach individuals, look them right in the eye, acknowledge my name, shake their hand, and ask them for their name. If I'm speaking to a larger audience, and when I'm talking about a larger audience, 30 or more individuals, if I've done my homework, meaning I'm checking to understand mm-hmm. who I'm going to be in front of, maybe there's something that I've read about, something that I found out that I can make a connection with. And establishing that rapport to a larger audience is something that I can acknowledge, which will let them know, I think this guy's done his homework, or something that will allow me as a presenter to connect with this particular group, something in my background that I can acknowledge.
So in all of those cases, it comes down to a personal connection with the audience of one or the audience of 30 or the audience of 300, finding commonality that might work.
That's what it is. Mm. There's the one area, one thing that we can say that there's a connection made.
Yeah.
Commonality is another word that we can utilize, but it is making that connection mm-hmm. one-on-one or one with many.
What about sales professionals and building rapport? You know, when many of us who are in the selling business, and by the way, we are all in the selling business.
Yes, we are. Yes.
It really does get to me sometimes when people say, I don't sell anything. And so that's silly. Of course you do. We're selling every day. When in a sales situation, for example, when you're going in on a cold call and this is an opportunity, that it's a one-on-one relationship or building that relationship with an individual that you're hoping to sell a product and or service to. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a little challenging, doesn't it?
It is. It is very challenging in making that cold call. Yet, here's one thing we at Tarot International know, that when a salesperson makes the call, we are infringing on their time.
Sure.
They weren't expecting us. And so at Tarot International, when we talk about those cold calls, there's something you can do ahead of time. If you are coming in, you can see the sign outside. Look up on your smartphone. What are some things you can find out about that organization or that company? Having a little bit of knowledge before you go in, so that when you do go in, again, it's that direct eye contact, mm-hmm. the smile, and the shaking of the hand acknowledging who you are. And some verbiage, some words we can choose to say. I know you weren't expecting me. Is a good way to be able to get through that door, to be able to make and begin the connection with that individual.
Oftentimes, you've got to go through a gatekeeper. What are some strategies that helps build? I mean, because oftentimes the gatekeeper, most often the most powerful person in any business.
I would agree, Michael, 100%.
They know who to let in and who not to let in. How can you assuage that friction?
Sure. Well, that's one of the questions we get asked often, is that we got to make it past that gatekeeper. And we would acknowledge to be able to utilize the same to that gatekeeper, giving that individual the respect they deserve. For a lot of salespeople, they look at that gatekeeper as somebody they have to overcome. Mm-hmm. It's that barrier. But guess what? If you treat them with the respect they deserve, it's amazing how people will respond.
Yeah.
And it's just treating them as the individual that, not necessarily they are the boss, but treating them kindness, treating them with the same skills you utilize with the individual you want to meet can help go a long way.
And I like what you said about, I know you weren't expecting me and I may be infringing on your time. However, you know, admit that right up front.
It is a technique that can be helpful, mm-hmm. because by acknowledging that, the person also says, you're right.
Yeah,
you're thinking,
right.
You're right. I wasn't expecting you. What do you have?
Mm-hmm. And let's cut to the chase. Different ways to establish rapport. You say an eye contact, the shake of the hand, finding some commonality with an individual. Let's talk for just a moment about building rapport with a team. And let's say that this is a team at work that you're going to have to work through several issues with. Mm-hmm. How can you do that on a smaller scale with people that you work with on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that question, Michael. This is a team that I work with. How do I establish rapport with them since I'll see them on a regular basis?
Sure.
You know, it comes down to what you and I learned at home, and that is the niceties, and that is simply the please, the thank you. Even if you're in that position of authority where you can direct someone to do something, we have found out that when you do utilize those small words such as please, thank you, encourage you to, those small words send a different message than what many individuals mm-hmm. do, and that is based on position, telling you what to do. The message is received differently in when we treat others with, and at work too, with the respect we all deserve.
And in that small team situation, everybody already knows everybody. So is there a way, Carlos? I mean, if you already have been working together and you're hearing this conversation that you and I are mm-hmm. having now, you're going, oh, wait a minute. Now, how I've been working with these people for a long time. I'm not sure that I really have a good rapport with them. How can I build on that? And then you go in the next day and you say, hi, Jim. And you're smiling and you're being nice. They're going, what's he on?
What happened to
Michael?
What
happened to this guy? Yeah. Are there some ways to subtly do this and work this in over some time period?
Sure. You know, Michael, it's not a trick. It's not magic.
Right.
It is really being yourself. Mm-hmm. And I run into that often with individuals sharing with me. You know, I think I've shared more with you right now, Carlos, than I have with some of my coworkers. And what it comes down to simply is the fact that for many of us, we have a separate life. But yet, you know what? By being able to ask questions, by being able to really inquire about the other person and get to know some things about them.
Empathetic.
Empathy comes into play.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not asking every day about them, but being able to know. They have children, they have pets.
And remember those things.
Oh, it's amazing, yeah. Michael. If you can remember that, you are coming across completely different than what most coworkers deal with each and every day.
Carlos Alvarez, ladies and gentlemen, one of the trainers from Tarot International. We're talking about building rapport. I want to talk a little bit about people's names. And allow me to just give you a story that really gets to me from time to time. Often people, my name is Michael. All right. I have been Michael all my life. My mother used to, when she was really mad, she would say Michael P. It would really be, I knew to pay attention. So I've been Michael all of my life. And it's interesting, people that don't know me assume that they are making a friendly overture, by, even if I'll answer the phone, hi, this is Michael, they'll say, hey, Mike, that's not my name. Sometimes that can work in reverse, can't it, if you're trying to be too familiar with someone's name?
Very much so, Mike. You know what? This is when it comes back. At the very beginning, you were asking about remembering people's names.
Right.
For most individuals, when I interact with them and I ask say I'm talking to a group and I ask a simple question. How many of you are very good at remembering people's names? One or two hands go
up. Exactly.
And when I ask how many of you are good at remembering people's faces, everybody's hand goes up. And so what it comes down to, it's not so much that many of us don't remember names. What it comes down to is that it didn't get in to begin with. So I'm going to go on a little side tour to respond to your question. So there's literally hundreds of ways to remember people's names. How do we know that? We see many of those ways. I can share with you one technique that has worked really effective for me.
Sure.
And I can share with the audience, maybe it'll be effective for you. When you meet someone for the first time and you're listening to the name, what most of us are thinking is what we're going to say.
Respond.
What we're going to be saying. And so it's really a challenge to quiet that inner voice and be listening to the other individual. Once we hear the name, the technique is to be able to say the name after you hear it, anywhere from 3 to 5 times in that initial conversation. Now, if I just met you, Michael, the technique would not work if I just said, Michael, 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 Michael. That's not what I'm talking about. However, if I just met you throughout that conversation, Michael, I would acknowledge your name. Michael, I'm so glad that I met you. Michael, it's great to meet you. Somewhere along the way, 3 to 5 times, that'll be in our head.
Right.
It's great for long-term memory recall.
And you know, something in the book, Your Invisible Toolbox, that
Roe
and
great book.
It really is, that they talk about, Roe and Deborah talk about, is many times people say, I'm not good at remembering names. And so it's self-deprecating in a way. They're telling themselves, I'm not good at remembering names, rather than doing it reverse and say, I'm pretty good at remembering names, and how that changes.
Michael, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is.
They tell us up front, I don't remember names. And at the end of a workshop, they look at me and they go, see, I told you. And the name never got in to begin with.
Absolutely.
And that's the key.
Let's talk back on the sales idea, because I'm sure that you talk to many groups that are in that. How can building rapport beat price?
Oh, yes. Appreciate that question. If I have established rapport with you,
mm-hmm.
find out a little bit more about you, and you find a little bit more about me, it's a relational. It's relationship. It's not I'm here one day and gone tomorrow.
And I'm going to sell you this and out of your
life. And I'm gone.
Yeah.
One of the things that Attero International is looking at with the sales in today's world, it is collaborative, meaning we're working together. So if I have established rapport with you, I have found out more about you. You have found out more about me. That's how a relationship actually begins.
Mm-hmm.
What many salespeople confuse as relationship is that they have the ability to talk to people. You know, one of my biggest strengths, they say, is my ability to form relationships. What they're talking about is their ability to talk, to get in the door. What we're talking about at Attero International, the relationship beyond rapport,
uh-huh.
is the connection that we've made. If I've made a connection with you, Michael, and we go forward, if it turns out that the product that I'm selling is going to be higher than where the customer may get it somewhere else, it's that relationship we have established that will far outweigh the savings they may get right now, immediate. But that won't happen unless we have established a relationship.
Got to have the rapport.
Oh,
got to have the rapport. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the voice of our friend Carlos Alvarez from Attero International. Thank you so much, Carlos, for doing this. Again, great to see you.
Michael, thank you for having me. Great to see you.
Enjoy the rest of the summer, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you. For those of you who don't know, it is called The Invisible Toolbox. Pick it up. It is a great book, and that little story that we shared is in there. All right, we've got to step aside because Tyler Hackenmiller, our producer, says it is time to go. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, we were talking about YALI earlier. That's the Young African Leadership Initiative. Carlos Alvarez from Attero. The program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is none other than Jimmy Olson. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.